This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. On the show today, we have World Council of Credit Union's very own Andy Price and Panya Monford talking about the organization's global regulatory update and some G20 efforts that they're doing as well. We cover a lot of topics in this conversation: climate change, financial inclusion, cryptocurrency, payments. Oh my gosh, we run the gamut here, so check it out and enjoy. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, it's a very international theme. We have the fine folks from the World Council Credit Union Council here. And I'm really excited to talk about this today because we're talking about a lot of things that are going on planet Earth, basically, and how credit unions are really related to it. But first, let's do some introductions. Right next to me is Mr. Andy Price from the World Council. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us. Pleasure to be here.
Oh my gosh. You're welcome. You're welcome. And then right below us is Panya Monford. Panya, how are you?
Greetings. I'm great. Thank you.
Glad to have you guys here. Okay. We're talking about the World Council's global regulatory update and also some G20 efforts that we'll talk about at the very end here. But first, I want to start with Panya. I'm going to start with you on this one. And then Andy, you can chime in as well if you like. But can you share some of the World Council's global regulatory update for us? Because what's the latest here? Because it sounds like there's a sustainable finance is kind of the theme here that kind of runs through all of these, because there's about four or five main topics here that we'll get to.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the topics that we cover for our 2022 regulatory update are things we may have seen before with, you know, maybe new areas that we haven't delved into, but are, you know, explored. But the sustainable finance piece is something we really haven't talked about a lot, and we're seeing an increasing, you know, interest in, you know, addressing environmental issues. And the financial services arena is no exception. So we thought that would be a great umbrella theme for our global regulatory report year, because it's, you know, it's a little bit new and it's definitely coming down the pipeline. So it's definitely something we really need to discuss.
Yeah. I'm going to start with the first one here, climate change, which when you look at it from kind of an outsider's perspective, you're like, credit unions, climate change, what's the connection here? I'm not getting it, but you guys certainly get it. And so Pani, can you give us the connection here with climate change and how it relates to credit unions, or how credit unions can help curtail what's going on right now?
Well, I think the interesting thing about credit unions is we've always been doing this work. It's not new. A lot of the small businesses, macro, micro, SME businesses have a lot to do with agricultural finance and a lot of other business endeavors that support the community, especially in an environmental way. Mm-hmm. I think it's new for the regulatory landscape related to financial services. I think they're trying to figure out a way that they can help this, you know, global issue. And it sounds strange. How will finances help sustainability?
Yeah.
You know, creating products, creating green products, incentivizing those products, you know, will really help so that, you know, different organizations, banks, businesses, all the like would be interested in not only investing in these products, but also seeing the incentives behind it. But what with that, those incentives, we're going to find more regulation in terms of how to address the actual procedure of doing that, the process of doing that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And Andy, I want to have you chime in here, because I listened to the podcast on the same topic, and you talked about, as an example, electric cars, because that could be something that could obviously either benefit or you know, has to do with climate change. So what's, I want to get your take on this one as well.
Yeah, Panya touched on there. We're likely to see a lot of regulations coming down on the products, as far as you know, we call them eco labels, if you will. If you're offering a green mortgage, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a green mortgage? What does that take for it to constitute, you know, green, and it's helping out the environment? That is a huge area of discussion by the regulators in the European Union, by the international standard setters, as to what means that. You may offer someone a loan to help buy an electric car, which you think, okay, it runs on electricity, it's not emitting fumes, it's good for the environment. But if the regulators look at that and say, well, what it took to actually to produce that car, you look at the factory and all the steam that came out and the chemicals that go into the batteries, well, maybe that's not actually helping the environment overall at the end of the day.
You're right.
And that analysis gets really tricky for credit unions, because how far do you take that? And the quickest example for credit unions is we have field of membership restriction. We have credit unions that serve the oil industry. We have credit unions that serve airlines. People are not flying because they're concerned about the carbon footprint. And are they going to start looking at the correlation between us serving an employee of a company that may not be environmentally friendly?
Right.
And tying that to the loan, and we're really concerned how you craft that regulations is really key. And it's not only products, but it really affects every aspect of a credit union, the investments that we do. And as an example, the Basel Committee is issuing green bonds for central banks around the world to invest in. They just issued the second tranche of those to do that. Are there going to be requirements for credit union to have their investments in green and sustainable products as well?
Yeah.
Your operations, how do you run your credit union, right? Do you have the blue bins underneath your desk to recycle paper? Are you operating LEED certified buildings, right? Are you doing that? I mean, so your investments, the products, your operations, everything from nuts to bolts, there's a lot of consequences here. How these regulations shape out are going to be critical. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think they're taking it seriously, the Basel Committee is now looking at establishing the risk weights for how do you account for climate change on your balance sheet. We're going to have more hurricanes, tornadoes. You're going to lose collateral. People may lose their jobs. How do you calculate that and put it on your balance sheet? The International Accounting Standards Board has just set up an entirely new division just to work on the accounting for the sustainable disclosures. I mean, a lot of that's in the securities market, but it plays into our disclosures as well. And so there's big institutional organizations working on this issue. And as I mentioned, even the NCUA, we've seen Chairman Todd Harper make numerous statements to Congress. He made statements to FSOX. They were working on it in their strategic plan, identifying climate change as a risk. So, your balance sheet, investments, products, your operations, everything from nuts to bolts is likely going to be affected by sustainable finance.
Gosh. Okay, you two. I stand. I am well educated in this area now. I am no longer in the dark here. So, oh my gosh, thank you so much for that. Because I was wondering, gosh, how can you connect it? So you guys explained it to me beautifully. Let's talk about financial inclusion as well, Panya. Can you touch on that as well? What's going on in this area?
Yes, we're continuing to see financial inclusion actually blossom within the regulatory field around financial services. Financial inclusion is close to credit union's heart. This is, our mission. We want to include the businesses that ordinarily would not be seen by larger banks. The consumers, the actual members of our credit unions are people who actually contribute to the goal of increasing financial inclusion. They're helping their communities, their small businesses, their woman-owned businesses, their young people getting into business. They're helping, it's agri-loans, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's a diverse set of people who need just as much access to banking as anyone else. And the regulators are starting to see this. So we're starting to see a lot more attention paid to how can we improve financial inclusion. And that comes with providing right-sized regulations, proportional regulations that fit the size, risk, and complexity of the institution. And, FATF is one of the key bodies that we often go to in terms of, or look forward to in terms of what they'll release to support financial inclusion. I think they get it. And we're following FATF pretty closely to see what else they have up their sleeve in terms of, risk-based approach, proportional guidelines, which all compound to support financial inclusion. And we're seeing that from all over, including the G20, the Basel Committee, you name it, everyone is in support of this goal.
Yeah, definitely top of mind for everybody now. It's really just blossomed in a good way the last few years. And right now, yeah, you see some great strides being made in this area, and credit unions are right there on the forefront. So it's really cool to see that as well. I'm going to stick with you on this one as well, Panya. Digitization, cybersecurity, and oh my gosh, cryptocurrency. We could dedicate an entire show to this one alone. So, and as far as regulatory is what regulations, oh my gosh. I mean, I think 2022 is going to be a pivotal year in this area. So can you give us your take on that one as well?
Sure. I mean, a lot of those topics may not directly impact a lot of our credit unions yet. How they will impact credit unions is, you know, regulators are trying to address issues under digitization and cybersecurity and cryptocurrency. And all the innovation coming out of that is causing regulators to go crazy, basically. How do we keep this at bay? How do we keep crime at bay? How do we keep, you know, money laundering at bay? All of these things through technology, through digital innovation. And credit unions, unfortunately, will probably get caught up within that crosswind of regulation. So now our job is to remind regulators, look, we still have small institutions. We still have cooperative institutions who won't fit under that purview. We don't have issues with anti-money laundering the way big banks do or larger institutions, financial institutions do. We don't have issues with cross-border transactions, which cause a lot of concerns with cybersecurity. A lot of our credit unions aren't savvy enough to even fall under the purview of a lot of the regulations. They're overburdensome. They're taxing on revenue. Yeah. What we're going to do, we don't know how long it will be before credit unions catch up and before regulators decide we don't care whether you are digitally inclined or not. But for now, we're asking, look, make the regulations fit. Yeah. We can't promise that in the future regulators will be able to continue to do that to keep up with digital innovation and crime. But, you know, we're trying to put the message out that credit unions eventually will need to catch up in terms of technology. But for now, you know, our international advocacy team is trying to keep the regulations at least, you know, at bay in terms of smaller institutions so that they function and continue to, you know, function on the revenue that they are currently existing on.
Yeah. Because as you're talking, I'm just thinking about crypto because, you know, everybody's talking about that. It's, I don't want to say controversial, but it's such a hot topic right now. But other parts of the world are way ahead of the United States in crypto. And so I'm thinking, okay, are they going to set regulatory? Is that going to be the template that we're going to use when it comes over here? Or, I mean, what do you see? I don't know if you can see that, but
I think so. I mean, a lot of times the rest of the world is a lot more advanced than we are in these situations because we have a lot of political, political allies, a lot of lobbying that is involved in terms of crafting our regulations here. And, you know, we take a little longer to address the issues. And I think that we're going to be looking towards, especially the European Union and how they address cryptocurrency in the regulations. Mm-hmm. We're more liberal in terms of addressing, new currencies such as, you know, NFTs and cryptocurrency.
Oh my gosh.
And we're a lot more concerned with politics and I think personal political endeavors, keep a lot of the money flowing. And we have to see how cryptocurrency is going to allow certain, interest groups. So we will be looking to other countries to give us a little bit of insight on how we deal with it for sure.
I think of Singapore where we were a few years ago, Andy. So I think how far ahead they are. So it looks like you want to add on this one as well, right, Andy?
I was just going to say this area over the next, 3-5 years, probably even longer, is going to be highly regulated. The issue of payments is being addressed by the G20 and the Basel Committee. They just, as a matter of fact, today there's a press release about a working group that came out to work on cross-border payments. The direction from the G20 is faster, cheaper, more transparent, more inclusive payments is their goal, and they've set targets now for that. The use of cryptocurrency to address payments is a big hot topic. Oh, yeah. Is that going to be decentralized, kind of like a Bitcoin, or are we actually going to have a regulatory framework? Is there a government going to sit behind payments, that provides ability to kind of track digital identity, and then all the anti-money laundering concerns that go along with that are all intertwined and extremely complex.
I was about to say, they're all connected, yes. Yeah.
Yes. And so we are going to see, I think, a lot of regulation to come out and to really kind of modernize payments in all kinds of form. Mm-hmm. and how it has it. It's a very hot and complicated topic.
Completely. And again, I think it'd be really interesting to see what the rest of the world does, especially those who are a little bit further ahead of us than we are in it. So just to see what they do as well, as far as regular, and then see how we react to it, or maybe we'll be the ones that will be proactive and get on the horse and run with it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about payments, Andy, real quickly, because you mentioned that as well in your response, because that seems to be changing every 5 seconds as well. So you want to add a little bit to that?
Yeah. Payments is rapidly transforming. And again, the direction from the G20 is faster, cheaper, more transparent, more inclusive, cross-border payments. And there's a lot of efforts being done by international standard setters, Basel Committee. There's working groups on that. The G20 set targets for all of those things: faster, cheaper, more transparent. That they kind of want to see met by 2027 was their goal. I mean, these things tend to change, but as you can see, over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see a lot of work coming down the pike. And you've got the Visas of the world, you've got the SWIFT networks of the world. Who's going to be the winner, or the platform, or how is this all going to work and be interconnected? You know, credit unions in the United States, I often get calls because they'll get a wire from the EU, and a wire might go through 5 different banks. It just depends on the bank that it originated with and their relationship and how it gets transferred. You never know what it's going to cost at the end. And I think they're trying to work on a system to make these things a whole lot easier. In the EU, there's a whole lot going on in payments. They're contemplating mandating the provision of instant payments. So if you take a Venmo or something like that, there may be requirements in the EU where that's a method of payments that has to be made available by a credit union. If you can think about the regulatory burden of that, if you're not currently offering it, that could be significant. So there's a tremendous amount of work going in the area, and Pania kind of, I think the in Europe on payments are a little bit ahead of United. When we're just getting through chip and PIN adoption. I don't mean to laugh, but
it was like EMV was just a couple of days ago. You know,
they're a little bit further ahead, I think, over there as far as payments goes, and so we're seeing a lot of what's going on in there. Payments as an area is going to be transformed, and you even wonder, are checks or cash even going to be around at the end of the day by the time we get done? Who knows?
But you're right. And it seems like this constant game of catch up with the regulators, because the technology is moving so fast, and that almost sometimes can hold a financial institution, a credit union in this case, back a little bit, right? Is that, do you guys see that at all? Or, I mean, that's just kind of a thought that just popped in my head.
You know, for a credit union, if you're in a credit union, particularly, I mean, United States, we have a nice large system, but my credit union systems around the world are much smaller. And when you get to the level of a credit union and you're asking them to make an investment in a technology piece, they're going to take a while before they drop, however many thousands of euros or dollars that they need to do in that. They're going to make sure what they're buying is really going to work for their members. And so they tend to be a little bit slower. And so with everything changing so fast, it's like, gee, what do I do? What do, exactly. If I invest in this, is it going to be gone in a year?
Yeah.
Should I just wait another couple of years and let everything kind of stable? It's really hard for a credit union to make a decision like that when you're looking to invest in technology. Mm-hmm. So we struggle with that. But credit unions have been great, about coming together. I mean, you think United States formed CUSOs to do the same thing. Yeah. We see that around the world. We've been promoting that from a lot of our projects, and with WOKU helping credit unions to do that. So you can get economies of scale, you can negotiate, you can bring in better expertise to help you with the decision making. And the third component is continuing with the advocacy to make sure we have access and in an affordable way, and that the regulatory frameworks don't hinder us from having access,
yeah.
and the banks don't try and exclude us like we see with correspondent banking.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole other topic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another show for sure. But that's the great thing about your conference, though, as well, coming up this summer, is that you get all these credit unions from all the corners of the earth, and we all come together and we talk about these issues and these trends and how, you know, how a credit union in Europe is handling it as opposed to a credit union in Mexico or Australia or something like that. You know, that's the cool thing about that, you know, your conference, that it's just, you get so many, it's such a diverse group of people, and yet we all have the same mission in mind, you know?
The collaboration is key. I mean, that's how we have our edge, you know? So it's key.
Indeed. Hey, Panya, did you want to talk about some of the G20 efforts as well? Because I know, Andy, you talked a bunch about that as well with some of the topics here. Did you guys want to add anything else there? Because I know there was like a financial inclusion action plan as well. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we were active with the G20 last year, and we're really pleased with what came out with the G20. They adopted a menu of policy options for regulators on financial inclusion, how to do that. And they endorsed the Financial Inclusion Action Plan, which calls for enabling regulatory frameworks that encourage financial inclusion, and particularly in connection with digitization. And so this year, the presidency is going to be held out of Bali, Indonesia, who is, I think, going to be very concerned about financial inclusion. And they're the finance track and the Basel Committee's Global Partnership for Financial Inclusion is leading efforts to further this area. And we're really, really excited because that, financial inclusion proportionality means making the regulations work for credit unions who are, not-for-profit, member-owned cooperative institutions. If anyone can do financial inclusion, we can do it. And we have a proven track record of doing that around the world. You need to have proportional frameworks that are tailored for us that don't subject us to the rules that are made for the big banks. And we can help address financial inclusion through that. And I'm really excited because it looks like they're going to be doing work, not only what came out of the G20 this year out of Italy, but it's clearly a much greater focus this year coming out of Bali, Indonesia. We're using our G20 members along with the EU, kind of, you know, they said as their own, but France and Italy, we're asking them also to help us in this effort as well.
Okay.
So we have, a much stronger group to be able to advocate for that. We're really excited about it, actually. It'll help credit unions at the end of the day to do what they do best.
That's right. That is right. Pani, did you have anything to add on that one? Or because, I mean, there's a lot here. There's a lot on this. It's more like a buffet you guys have going on here. I mean, there is a lot going on here. So that's why I wanted to give your conference a plug too, Andy and Panya, that there's going to be a lot going on. I think 2022 is going to be a very pivotal year in a lot of these topics that we just discussed. So important to get together and talk about this type of stuff and keep that ball moving forward for sure. And on that note, where can folks go to find out more information on these topics? Obviously the website. And is there a particular area or on the website or anything like that that they can go and get some more details?
Yeah, come to our website. Not only in our newsroom, there's an international advocacy tab. We have a blog. We post, every couple of days we're putting something up that's come out on there. Our global regulatory update that we just put out is on our website that will walk you through all of these issues, including a couple others, anti-money laundering we didn't discuss today.
If you want to address it real quick, if you want to.
That's a whole nother couple shows.
That is for sure.
All of that is on our website.
Okay.
Please feel free to reach out to us at any time. We're always accessible to our members and happy to discuss any of these things anytime with anyone, anywhere around the world. If you will.
Got it.
Go
ahead, Panya.
Also, I just wanted to plug, registration is open for our 2020 credit union conference.
Job. Good job.
Please go to the website at woku.org.
We will put all those links in the show notes for sure. And I wanted to give you guys a shout out for your podcast too, because I listened to it on the same topic. And if you want to know more about and get some more details on this type of stuff as well, we'll include that link too, because you guys did a fabulous job in the podcast with Greg as well. So really good stuff. And they talk about a little bit of money laundering as well. So, or the anti-money laundering. So we'll get some details there in that podcast. So gosh, guys, thank you so much. Anything else to wrap up? Panya, I'll let you go first. Any final thoughts here?
No, just that we're, you know, excited to continue to do the work to support credit unions in their mission. Their mission itself is sustainability. So, you know, we're going to continue to look at the sustainability issue. That's our umbrella theme, but as well as the other, you know, topics that we've discussed in the global regulatory report, all of those things will support credit unions in their mission to provide not only financial inclusion, but, you know, it's time that we move into a future that's inclusive of everyone, where everyone can thrive.
Agreed. Andy, on those words, any final thoughts too?
Panya knocked it out of the park. Yes, I don't have much to I don't have much to add on that.
I was about to say.
Thanks for having us.
You're really welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here, and we're just so proud to be part of the credit union community.
Yeah, you guys do some fabulous, fabulous work. I don't know how you do it, because you guys do stuff on a global scale, where most of us just do stuff on a domestic scale. So you guys are just above and beyond the call of duty to get the credit union word out there and help it keep moving forward. So thank you for all the work that you guys do. And then again, we'll put all those links in the show notes so people can get right to them, especially the conference as well. So again, thank you so much. This was wonderful, wonderful. I look forward to having you guys back on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.